May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. I'd like to begin the sermon by saying a big thanks to all of us for our presence last Sunday at the soup lunch. The atmosphere was just wonderful. It was phenomenal. It was great. Special thanks to those who helped out, to Grace Note for singing in such melodious voices. As you would have also noticed from the bulletin, about £500 was raised last Sunday, and hopefully more will trickle in to support our young people as they prepare to go to Bradford. As they go to Bradford, they go in our name, they go with our blessings, they go with all our prayers and our support. And so thank you so much for being there and for all your help and for the difference each and every one of us make in the lives of young people within our congregation and also in our community and beyond. Again, we sang Easter songs because John Calvin says that every Sunday is Easter. And today is the third Sunday of Easter. Third Sunday of Easter. And so we are very much in the Easter season because our gospel message, Christianity, is centered around resurrection. And if you remove resurrection, then Christianity is nothing. Christianity is simply like one of those tales that people write in books and we watch in movies. But because of resurrection, there's a difference. We have hope that even though our outer body is destroyed here, there is hope for us in the future. That God raised Jesus from the grave, and that in the same way, God will be able to raise those who die in Christ. Before us this morning is one of the most vivid and insightful accounts of our Lord's appearances after his resurrection. It is a story that reveals to us not only something about who we are, but about how Jesus opens our eyes to see him for who he is. In the story, we read about two disciples who had left the city and they were on their way home. And Jesus met them on the way. Jesus did not come to them in Jerusalem. He didn't wait for them at home. He didn't even ask them to undertake a holy pilgrimage or undertake some pious feast. Rather, Jesus met them where they were, on the road, amid their journey. Right in the middle of all the pains, frustration, and sadness that threatened to overwhelm them. So Jesus was walking side by side with them. The story reminds us we can expect Jesus to meet with us along the way in the course of everyday life. So the presence of Jesus is not limited to the time we are together here for worship. We can expect him to meet with us in our homes as we journey along the way in the course of our daily activities. Because there is no geographical limit to the presence of God. Jesus came alongside them and asked, "What is this you are talking about?" As though he never knew. And they poured out their hearts and began to tell Jesus the whole story, the story of Jesus' passion and death. They told him how he was cruelly punished and crucified on the cross of Calvary. He waited and listened patiently. And when they had finished the narrative, Jesus explained to them in the light of the prophecies of the Old Testament, the importance of what had happened. Because they could not make sense how somebody they had expected to be their savior will die the way Jesus died. And so they invited Jesus to dinner, and in the breaking of bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus as the risen Christ. And immediately, Jesus was no more. They said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he was speaking to us on the road? While he was explaining the scriptures to us?" In fact, their encounter with Jesus moved their hearts. It didn't just move their brains. It didn't just move their body. It moved their hearts. And once moved, they could not help but go out to share the message they had received. In fact, that very hour, dark as it was, late as it was, dangerous as the road was, they left for Jerusalem. They left for Jerusalem, and when they got there, they gave witness that Jesus was risen. And he had walked with them and talked with them and explained the scriptures to them, and above all, broke the bread at their table. So they gave their own personal narrative about the risen Christ. So their narrative was not based on the experiences of others, but they were now speaking as people who had their own personal experience of Christ. And it makes all the difference if we speak based on our own personal experience of Christ, not based on what we read in books or movies. These are all important, but we also need to open our hearts to God and allow God to move in our hearts so that the story we tell will be stories that flow from our hearts, not simply stories that flow from books. This story is especially important for people like you and I. It is important because these two persons were not particularly a part of the 11 apostles, the inner circle of Jesus' followers. Yet, as we read this morning, they are central characters in what may be the most heartwarming of all the resurrection accounts. It does not matter that those two disciples were not a part of the inner circle. What matters is that Jesus loved them and walked with them. So that's really important, and it's encouraging to me, and I suppose to all of us this morning. They had been brokenhearted and shattered by his death on the cross 3 days earlier. And so the good news of Jesus Christ is not about who we are. It's not about where we come from. It's not about our past. In fact, it is not about our present. It is not about what we did years past. The good news is that, you know, God is working out his purpose in the lives of his people. The good news is all about God, what God is doing, what God has done, and what God will do. And so, no matter what our backgrounds might be, no matter how we may have failed, perhaps you might think you have failed yourself, failed families, failed friends, there's a good news. The good news is that we are loved eternally by God, and he cares for each and every one of us. He knows us by name. He calls us by name. In fact, we are written, as Isaiah would say, in the palms of God's hand. And so you are special. We are all very special in the heart of God. There is no discrimination when we meet and we face God. In fact, we do not even know the names of these disciples, except that Luke says that one of the person's names was Cleopas. And this makes me wonder how many countless hundreds of thousands of nameless disciples across the centuries, unknown to anyone but to the Lord. In fact, there are many we may not know in our church community, in our community, in our society, in our network of friends. And sometimes as people, we might want to put fences and to say, this one belongs and this does not belong. But God knows us by name. And there are many countless disciples who may not know, who have served the Lord faithfully, even in this our congregation. People who walk behind the scene, people who are hardly noticed, people who hardly speak to the mic, but they are working tirelessly to make St. John's what it is. And over the centuries, you would have seen many of them, many people like that, who were hardly seen, but they were working tirelessly to keep St. John's moving. And God is a rewarder of every good work. He's a rewarder of every good work we do in His name. And our names, though may not be remembered by people, God knows us by name, and He will remember us. God cares for each and every one of us, whether we are leaders or followers, ministers or members, rich or poor, He cares. One of the things the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus teaches us is that Jesus cares for our hopes and our dreams. He's not absent. If we open our hearts to Him, He will join us along the way. He will join us as we journey every step along the way. God desires to bring healing in those times of heartbreak. And some of these heartbreaks are inevitable as long as we are on the journey. As we journey, just like you are going on holidays, sometimes you meet traffic, sometimes you meet flight delays, sometimes the flight is canceled, sometimes something happened. Something just happened along the way. But at the end of the day, you are back home to Kaluk, in your home. As we journey along life, things happen. But as we journey, we are aware that Jesus is walking every step along the way with us. While God always has a plan, we are not always aware of His plan. And that was the problem of the disciples. They could not make sense of why and how the Messiah would die such a shameful death. When things don't turn out like we expect, when things don't work out the way we dream them to work out, instead of giving up, I'll suggest something to us this morning. Maybe you need to pause. Maybe you need to take a step backward and see if maybe God is up to something. And see if God is up to something we simply do not understand. Take a step backward. Pause a wee bit and see. Perhaps God is working out something. Something for which His name and name alone be glorified. Amen.